If you can, please join me opening your copies of God's Word in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, we are going to consider tonight verses 23 to 27. I don't know in what page of your Bibles is the book of Hebrews, but almost towards the end. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 27, this is the chapter of the heroes of the faith that's been called. So, but we are going to consider this passage in light of what the Heidelberg Catechism has to say with regards to good works. So pay attention to how faith is connected to the actions of good works that Moses specifically and others who have come here in chapter 11 performed because of the faith that they had. So with that in mind then, please stand to hear the reading of God's holy and inspired word. 23. And this is God's word. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Thus far the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Now let me just read Lord's Day 24 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Question 62. Why can't our good works be our righteousness before God? Or at least a part of our righteousness? Answer. Because the righteousness which can pass God's judgment must be entirely perfect and must in every way measure up to the divine law. But even our best works in this life are all imperfect and stained with sin. 63. How can our good works be said to merit nothing when God promises to reward them in this life and the next? Answer. This reward is not merited. It is a gift of grace. 64. But doesn't this teaching make people indifferent and wicked? Answer. No. It is impossible for those grafted into Christ by true faith not to produce fruits of gratitude. So, dear congregation of the Lord, we have, if you remember, talked about the doctrine of justification already, justification by faith alone. We have talked about how salvation from sin depends entirely and only in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. His whole life, his death, his resurrection, and the benefits of it have been given to us through the action and application of it of the Holy Spirit. So to this doctrine of justification, then, we saw how it follows the idea of assurance of salvation. That is, Jesus did everything for you already, and there is nothing you can do to damage that salvation or to lose it. You cannot lose your salvation. There is assurance, is secure. This is the truth of the scriptures, and that is the tone of our theology. But this tone, at the same time, was met with a pastoral concern from Rome's perspective. If salvation, they said, is by faith alone, and if everything is already paid for, then people will become reckless. Then people will live lives of disobedience to Christ, and there will be disorder. Chaos will ensue in the family, in the working fields, and in different kingdoms, they said. And truth be told, chaos did ensue in certain parts of Europe. So it was not a false concern that Rome had. However, this concern was rightly answered by our Reformed fathers using the scriptures and applying the whole counsel of God. And it is to answer that a question from Rome that we turn tonight to Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 24. So our theme for tonight is, what about good works? What about good works? And we will see it in two parts. First, not for salvation, And second, rather fruits. It is the fruit of salvation. So good works, not for salvation, but rather is the fruit of our salvation. So let's see the first part. Good works are not for our salvation. And here we enter, I think, at least from my perspective, a very fun part of the catechism. The catechism is kind of like written in the spirit of a five-year-old boy or girl. It is almost as if every single answer that the catechism answers and responds to follows by a why. And so what? And why are we doing this kind of question? We have already affirmed with the scriptures that we are saved by grace alone, in Christ alone, through faith alone. That's Lord's Day 23. And then the catechism asks, why? What about my good works? Are they not helpful at all? Think about 16th century people, excuse me. You've been trained to think that if you behave well enough, then you will inherit heaven. So now you are hearing that it's not like that at all. And the question goes, why? But what about all of that work? And isn't that an understandable kind of question? All of that hard work for nothing. This is like filling buckets with water from your kitchen and then walking those heavy buckets towards the river and then dumping the buckets in the river because you are working hard in filling the river with water. And then later on discovering that all that effort was good for nothing because the river has water in itself. It was nothing. And then we would rightly ask, would we not? What about all of that hard work? What about my water bill? I was refilling the river. Didn't it help the river just a little bit? And of course, the answer is not at all. Maybe you made it worse. In the same way, works with our salvation. We can't contribute anything to our salvation. Our good works cannot merit anything before God. And again, the question is, why? Why is that? And here the catechism gives us an answer and makes a very important distinction for us. First, because according to scriptures, in places like Isaiah 6, for example, and others, God is holy, holy, holy. He's righteous, he's perfect, he's blameless, and we are not. In fact, on a different place of Isaiah, the prophet affirms that we have all become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like polluted garment. Dirty, trash, worth for nothing. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. So God, who is entirely holy, blameless, and perfect, cannot accept works that are not holy. Even our best acts of goodness, our best efforts that we can work on, the most selfless acts in themselves that we can do are still stained and tainted with sin. Why? Because sin is not something that we do. Sinners is something that we are. That is our status. So the moment we do something good, it's already stained with sin. Because it is stained with sin, God cannot accept those good works. The other problem with our good works is that good works can never obtain the favor of God. Good works are owed to God already. This is like taking $5 from your dad's wallet and then running to dad and telling him, take that, I'm gifting you $5. That'll be funny. That would not be a gift. It's coming from dad's pocket anyway, and it's going back to dad's pocket. In this sense, even the good works that we can do as creatures made by God are already owed to him. And our obedience is our obligation towards God, what we owe him. So we can earn anything before God because we are supposed to obey God. Luke 17, verses 7 to 10 is in fact a great example of this reasoning. Will anyone, says Jesus Christ, of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come from the field, come at once and recline at the table? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. See, I remember when I was in elementary school, and I used to come with my report card and coming to my parents specifically. And I used to say, look, Mom, all aces. Perfect. And my mom replies was always, her reply was always funny. She used to say, and what are you expecting for it? I mean, it's your duty as a student to work hard. What do you want? And I mean, sounds harsh, but it's true. It's true. The creature in that sense can merit nothing before God, because the creature depends on God for everything. The creator, God in himself, sustain us. And it's true, by the way, from the beginning, the creature is already depending on God. Even in the Garden of Eden, Adam could never have reached perfection if he would have obtained that and full happiness without God coming down and stooping down to him and making the covenant of works. In that sense, Adam needed the covenant of works in order to reach the goal that he was meant to reach. Without the covenant of works, it would have been impossible for Adam to be and reach happiness. So think about that now. Given that we are sinners, given that we are no longer in the garden, how much less our good works can save us? It's impossible. They all are stained with sin. They will never, ever repay for what we have done and we continue doing. They will never merit anything before God. It will be useless to try to depend on our good works in order to find salvation. That is why the good news of the gospel are so good. They remind us that there is one who came to this world yet without sin, who lived perfectly, who did what we couldn't do, who obeyed the law of God in every single aspect, and who died in our place, namely Jesus Christ. What for? So we can obtain salvation. And through faith in Jesus Christ, we do receive that perfect salvation. Good works, again, amount for nothing in our salvation. The clean river of life in Jesus Christ is entirely filled to the brim. And by faith, you are partaking, you are receiving clean water that gives you life everlasting. That is the good news of the gospel. Now, having said that, we have not responded to Rome's argument, haven't we? Doesn't this doctrine of free justification by faith alone, doesn't that idea make Christians careless? So to answer that question, let's move to the second part of our sermon. Good works are fruits of salvation. And let me tell you this, there is some grain of truth in the argument coming from Rome against the reformers, especially the Lutheran branch of things. Not that the reformers were encouraging and sending people off to the world to live a reckless life. No, that is not the case. But Rome rightly felt that the Protestant conception of the justification by faith alone was lacking a certain biblical emphasis on good works. And again, not without a good reason. As always, there is people, and there will always be people who didn't understand properly what the reformers were teaching. Some, in fact, believed that because they were saved already, then they could go to the world and behave worse than the world. In some towns of Germany, and I have told you this, for example, some people decided to have multiple affairs because it's not the soul who sins, it's the flesh, and who cares about the flesh? Other people decided to stop obeying their magistrates and started revolutions and so on. And that, by the way, has been true throughout history since then. Bonhoeffer complained that the Lutheran Church preached a cheap grace. Kierkegaard, the philosopher, spoke of Lutheran Denmark as a country who was filled with baptized pagans. And even today, people think that because they are justified by faith, then their lives need not to change. But as I said already, boys and girls, this is just a misunderstanding. This is not what we believe as Reformed people. It is not the tone of the Westminster Standards, and it's not the tone of the Heidelberg. But first, we need to solve a big, big question, do we not? Is there such a thing as an emphasis in good works found in the Scriptures? Does the Bible, in other words, speak about good works? And does the Bible speak about God recompensing, rewarding those good works and the people who make them? Listen to these verses, Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever who draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Moreover, think about the verses that we have read tonight. Moses left the luxuries of Egypt. He considered better to be mistreated with the people of God, to be exiled from Egypt. Why? Because the author of Hebrews says, Moses considered the reward that God had for him something better than what this world had to offer. And did Abraham walk in this world seeking for a better country? Country not built with human hands, but with the hands of the same very God that we worship? And these, by the way, are just few examples in the Scriptures that affirm that God himself gives rewards to his people. So good works are rewarded, which means that the Scriptures do speak about the necessity of good works. But how do we understand that? Well, Scriptures are clear that we can only be saved by faith alone. That much we have already established in the past Lord's days. In that sense, the reward of good works cannot be, it will never be, salvation. It has to be something else. And the reward cannot be earned as something that we merit before God. Otherwise, we will have something to boast about. See, God, I'm so good that you have to give me something. But Paul says there is no boasting before God. This is why the Heidelberg affirms the reward is not merited. It is a gift of grace. Now, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Why would anyone call reward a gift of grace? And here's the reason why. Because even in the covenant of grace, we remain servants of Christ. Every good work that we do, everything that we do in obedience to God the Father, is something that we already owe to him for his salvation. Let me put it this way, boys and girls. Let's say you really, 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 really want a new pair of shoes, a new dress, a new smartphone, or a new PlayStation, but you don't have the money for it. And one day you arrive to your house, you enter into your room, and there it is. You even hear angels singing, "Wah," the PlayStation over your bed. The new whatever thing you wanted is there, shining in all its glory, and has a letter over it. It says, "Enjoy it. Love mom and dad." Now, you would be super happy about it, wouldn't you? I would. And then mom says, "Charlie, can you take the trash out? Tell me. Wouldn't you, out of gratitude, out of the fact that you feel so, so happy about what your parents have done for you, wouldn't you just run and do it? And not only the trash from the kitchen, but from every single room in your house." But when you return after dumping the trash, you find out that mom is getting ready some money for you, rewarding you for being obedient. Now, again, tell me, Is that something that you deserved? Actually, no, it's not. The PlayStation or whatever the gift they give you was a free gift given to you. And that in itself is more than enough It's a great reason for you to obey your parents out of love and out of gratitude. But as an encouragement to you, mom now is going to reward you. She's going to give you some money as an extra, as something that you don't deserve, but that mom wants to do because she loves you. This is how God's grace works too. In Jesus, God has brought salvation to you. He has adopted you into God's family. You belong to Him. Eternity belongs to you. He also gives you the Holy Spirit and works in your sanctification from the start. So you start looking more and more like Jesus Christ because the Holy Spirit is working in you. And because of that, you start doing good works. And over that, as if that were not enough, then God comes and affirms that He will reward those good works and your obedience. And this is not because you deserve it, nor because your good works have merited, but because God wants to do it out of the love that He has for you. This is amazing grace. Because He wants to encourage you, because He wants you to walk the Christian life and be encouraged about it, He wants to give you this incentive, so to speak, for you to understand that living as a Christian is not only good, but also has good treasures, good recompenses for you, waiting for you that will last eternally. Now, the Apostle Paul, in fact, speaks of this reward in very interesting terms. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearance. So what is exactly this crown? I don't know. We don't know. Is it a real crown? Is it something else? We don't know. What we do know is that God will reward His people with good gifts other than salvation. Here, however, comes another question. How do we understand these good works? And the Heidelberg, again, answers very wisely. It is impossible, says, for those grafted into Christ by true faith not to produce fruits of gratitude. I really liked Andrew Kuivenhoven. He was a Reformed pastor who passed away a few years ago. He puts it this way. We are not saved by good works, and we are not saved without them. Or if you have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, then your life will necessarily manifest the fruit of that salvation. Think about it in this way, boys and girls. Imagine that you are a dead tree. God Himself comes to you miraculously, gives new life to you. So now you are alive, and now you are a green tree. And then God comes again and feeds you with water. And then as a response to the new life that is in you, and the water and the nutrients that God is pouring upon you and is giving you, it will be impossible for you not to produce fruit. In the same way with salvation, good works, obedience to God's law, is not an obligation. It's not because you have to. It actually comes very naturally. It is the result of your salvation. Because you are a Christian, you behave like a Christian. It's because you are already in Christ that you can do it. In fact, Zacharias or Sinus, one of the authors of the Heidelberg, affirms the following. The natural effect of the doctrine of justification by faith is to produce an earnest desire of showing gratitude to God. Now, here's the question. How does that look like? What kind of good works are we talking about? In modern times, this has been understood as do not smoke, do not drink, do not go to dances, and so on. But is this what the Bible affirms is good works? And it sounds to me, rather, that is more like the cultural captivity of the church speaking, our quibbles and our own traditions speaking, instead of scriptures. What are good works, then, properly speaking? How do we understand real good works? And how we separate good works from whatever we think good works are? Well, I think we do so by paying attention to scriptures. And it sounds to me that the heart of good works It's found in self-denial. Listen to Paul. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. This is already telling us that we are to follow God's desires. That is, our behavior needs to seek to comport according to God's Ten Commandments. We seek to love God and to love our neighbor. And again, we need to put this in perspective. It is not an obligation. It is not that we need and we have to do this, because otherwise, a lightning may fall upon us. No, it is an act of gratitude, an act of love. And why would that be? Why would we call this an act of love? Because we have been loved by God first. Here's the comfort that we find in the scriptures. Not that we are loved because what we do. Not that. If that were the case, we would never have been loved. What we see in the scriptures is that we have been loved by God first. That we have been rescued, we have been adopted, we have been granted life everlasting in Jesus Christ, and that we have the Holy Spirit living in us, working in us, and leading us to glory. And because all of that is true, then we are simply to respond in gratitude. God has filled us with his love, so we can love him back. God has loved us first, so we can love our neighbor in response. This is the doctrine of good works, boys and girls. That good works flows out of our salvation. Something that is already found in there. We are saved, we are redeemed freely without us deserving it or doing anything for it. And the purpose for our lives is to live as those who follow Jesus Christ. And those who love him, obey his commandments. That's in fact what he says to his disciples. If you love me, obey my commandments. So tonight, as we close, let us pray that the Holy Spirit enable us and help us to do so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your undeserved, unmerited grace and mercy. Thank you, Father, that you have welcomed us into your family freely. But now, Lord, we do recognize that we cannot live to the standard that pleases you perfectly. So Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Accept our lives. Help us to be more and more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Redeem our lives. Transform our families, our relationships, our vocations in such a way that in every area of life will bring glory to you and will be occupied in doing good works. So in everything, Lord, we may glorify your name. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.